So, how much do I owe you?
I waved my hand. No one won, and meeting up again with Shayna had nothing to do with a bet.
Fair is fair, he says.
We all chipped in. Everything is even. Besides, the gamble would have been less if we just have stayed at my apartment as I suggested in the first place.
Your apartment used to be Eric's, too, and that's not exactly bachelor party excitement.
And, Max's voice trails a bit,
two bedrooms and four men, that scenario only works with a different crowd.
He leans back against the bar and surveys the room.
Not that I'm on the hunt for that crowd.
I'm not exactly sure what he means, and I don't know if I want to know. Before I can respond, he speaks again.
She's a fiery one.
His assessment of Shayna makes me smile.
What can I say? I like to be burned.
Well, that little tirade she gave me the other night. You'd be in for worse from Stephen if you hurt her. Apparently, according to my brother, Stephen would need to stand in line. My sister-in-law will also kick my ass. Max shakes his head.
Man, you're on a hit list.
Only if my intention is to hurt Shayna, and it's not. Max shrugs as he turns back toward the bar and reaches for his glass of bourbon. After swishing the contents for what seems like too long, he mumbles something about intentions and how they can be misconstrued.
What?
Nothing. I'm no expert at relationships, but all that bullshit people spew about communication, there might be something to it.
Okay. Hey, I'm not trying to change the subject,
I say, doing exactly the opposite of what I said.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
I was surprised when your firm said you were still the contact here in the city. I thought you were leaving after the bachelor party.
That had been my plan, but you're right. I'm not here as a friend, but as an investment specialist.
I almost forgot this is a business meeting.
He looks at his watch.
Now, what was it you wanted to discuss?
I pull out my iPad and bring it to life.
This proposal has been sent out to...
Well, I feel a little guilty talking to Max without letting Shayna or Stephen know that he's still in town. This really is a business meeting. When I contacted Max's firm to question what was happening with the proposal I'd generated, I never expected to see Max. I'd said goodbye to him, Matt, and Eric on the Sunday morning after the party. We'd managed to keep Shayna's little blow-up away from Eric. Through it all, the groom-to-be seemed to have a good time. Less than a month to go and he'll officially be a married man. The wedding is a destination thing with an exclusive guest list of his and Cynthia's family. Last weekend was our time for his friends to be together to send him into the world of matrimony with memories. Now that Shayna and I are kind of together, I'm not too sad about missing the wedding. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Max and Stephen have history, and even though neither Max nor Stephen has given me any information, I've managed to get a little bit here and there from Shayna. In a nutshell, she thinks that one of my good friends is worse than pond scum. She mentioned something about fungi below the depths. For that reason, inviting her to Eric's wedding where Max would be if it weren't a small family wedding would probably not be a good idea. Oh, and then there's the whole thing about my taking Cynthia to Duncan's wedding. Yes, the bachelor party was our friend send off for Eric to the world of married bliss. Though my information regarding Max and Stephen is mostly self-generated, it isn't difficult to connect the dots. Shayna and Stephen have been living in London. Max lives in London. The chances of their paths crossing in a city as big as London is probably statistically similar to the chances of their paths crossing in New York City, given the variant and taking subcategories into consideration. Their connection skews the median results. It happened in both cities. As we're about to leave the bar, I realize why I'm surprised Max is still in town. You've been in the city all week and haven't stayed at my place?
Eric has moved out. He's now with Cynthia. I still have the extra bedroom.
Max's hand lands on my shoulder.
No, I haven't. After Saturday night, I figured you were probably busy, you know,
he says with a grin.
Getting burned.
I was. I am.
Still, friends are always welcome. Trust me, I've been busy too.
Are you heading back to London soon?
The flights are a mess right now. The royal wedding has caused ticket prices to soar. Since my plans changed, rebooking will nearly take selling the royal jewels. When I negotiated my itinerary change, I told my firm that I'd stay here and take care of a few matters we have pending. In the long run, I'm saving them money. I'm sure they'll remember that when it comes to bonus time. You have my number, I say. If you need anything or if you hear about the proposal.
I do. I'm going to be out of the city.
Max looks at his watch again. As a matter of fact, I need to get to the train station. I have a 4 o'clock.
I'll be back on Monday and let you know what I hear. If I hear. Thanks. I appreciate knowing I have someone on the inside. Max's expression stays the same, yet his eyes cloud in a way that makes the enthusiasm I felt while explaining my proposal disappear. Hey, I say. I understand. There's a limit to friendship. No, the limit's not on the friendship. I'll do what I can. The limit is on my influence over other people's decisions. Investment is a slippery slope. I know McColb Engineering is worth it. I've seen your work and dedication. All I can do is make the proposal. Pushing too hard isn't in anyone's best interest. Only sheer, but pulling, that's tensile. I place my glass on the bar and look for some acknowledgement of my comedy. When I don't see any, I explain. Pushing and pulling, engineering humor. Max shakes his head. I hope you wooed Shayna with something other than your stand-up comedy. Yes, as a matter of fact, she's fallen for my singing. You sing? Only in the shower. Max shakes his head as his phone and mine buzz at the same time. Thanks again, Max, I say as I look down. Please keep me posted. Shayna. I'm free for the entire weekend. Please tell me you can take my mind off Sax until Monday morning. Me. Oh, my lady, I have a concert planned. Shayna. A concert? What band? Me. It's a private show. Very intimate. Shayna. What clothes should I pack? Me. Not necessary. Nude venue. Smile emoji. Shayna. Then I'm packed. Blushing smile emoji.
Chapter 23. Shayna. Back in my hotel room, as I prepare for my escape weekend with Trevor, I contemplate what to throw into my carry-on suitcase. There might have been a time when I would have felt guilty about leaving two hotel rooms in the financial district of Manhattan unoccupied for two nights on Saks dime, but as I take a deep breath to expel the negativity from the last week working with Witch Vicky, I'm filled with nothing but anticipation. Even though Trevor told me the concert venue is nude, I throw a few tops, a pair of jeans, and even a skirt and blouse onto the bed. It's then that I see the black Saks Fifth Avenue bag with a small black and white bow that brings a much-needed smile to my face. The negligee inside isn't exactly like the one I wore on the runway. That one is for next season's sales. This one caught my eye as I was leaving the offices on the 10th floor this evening. The mannequin near the elevators was wearing it. Reaching nearly to the floor, the sleek satin fell loosely from its shoulders, held in place by delicate spaghetti straps. What caught my attention were the lace accents strategically arranged for optimum viewing. It was Stephen who encouraged me, telling me to go for it. "This is our weekend," he said. "Last Saturday, you wore lingerie for Saks. This weekend, do it for you." When I shrugged, he whispered, "This time, you'll not imagine those sexy green eyes. All he'll see is you." "Do you think it's a little forward?" For the first time since leaving the offices, Stephen smiled. "Girl, bunny rabbit sex is forward. That right there," he tilted his head toward the mannequin, "is rapping. It's anticipation. It's..." I placed my hand on his arm. "Stop. I'm going to need nipple tape if you say any more." "Go get it." The door to the elevator opened. "Bye, boss lady. I need to get straight to the train station." It was as the doors were closing that I realized he wasn't packed for a weekend with his parents. "Where are your things?" Stephen winked. "Not to worry. A friend is bringing them." "A friend?" The doors closed. Now, as I'm packing, I remember that at lunch he told me he had a secret. Damn, I'm a bad friend. Instead of thinking about work or daydreaming about Trevor, I should have asked. Lifting my phone, I send a quick text. "Me. I know you're on the train. Tell your mom and dad I said hi. Also, when do I get to know your secret? It isn't nice to make me wait." I hit send, fully expecting to not hear a word back from him until Sunday, or at least tomorrow. As I'm about to finish packing, my phone rings. Kimbra is on the screen. "Hi," I say. "Are you really leaving next Friday?" Letting out a long sigh, I sit on the edge of the big bed. "Stephen and I have return airplane reservations for next Friday night leaving out of JFK. We're headed back to London, no matter what happens with the position. Either we need to pack and get Junior squared away, or we are simply moving back home to our places in Shepherd's Bush. Just a tube ride away from our jobs. Am I a bad friend if I don't want London to be your home? No, I say with a grin. I think that makes you a good friend. So what are your plans for your last weekend in the Big Apple? Until you move back here? I recall Trevor's comments last night as we dined at yet another fabulous restaurant in the sky. Well, I've been told that I have and can make no plans. Ooh, I like that. And how are you supposed to pack for this no-plan weekend? I giggle. I was told the venue is a strict no-clothes zone. Well, hot damn, Quiet Trevor needs a new nickname. I laugh, thinking I could give him a few. Of course, none are ones I'm willing to share. Shayna, Kimber says when I get lost in my own erotic thoughts. Sorry. Yes, he's definitely not quiet or shy, or any of the other adjectives you've mentioned. Babe, I'm so happy for you and for him, she adds. I don't want to impose on your weekend, but can we see the two of you? I guess I better pack clothes. Yes, that's a good idea. The thing is that on Sunday afternoon, Christopher and Beth are coming over for dinner. They're in the city for a concert. That's a good thing because they can't stay too long. Duncan and I were thinking this would be a good time for them to meet you. My mind is filled with names and people. I think about friends I used to work with here in New York. I've seen a lot of them here at the offices. I try to recall people from Kimber's circles. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. Who are Christopher and Beth? Oh, shit. Well, you met them once. I shake my head. Can you give me another clue? I've been a little crazy lately. First, tell me if you can come over Sunday. I need to check with Trevor. Remember, he said no plans. Now my curiosity is growing. When did I meet these people? At my wedding, Kimber responds. At your wedding? They're Duncan and Trevor's parents. I fall back onto the bed, landing on the pile of clothes waiting to be packed as I let out a long breath. Kimberly Ann! It won't be bad. They're great people. They're much saner than my family, and you've survived them. Besides, I may have mentioned to Beth that Trevor was seeing my very best friend in the whole world, and how you were going to be leaving for a while, but the two of you were trying to make it work, and how this started at the wedding, and how Trevor is totally smitten, and she is so excited. Whoa, take a breath. Please? I passed on spending the weekend with Stephen's family, and now this? Like I said, it's not like with my family. There will be no strip poker or discussion of sex toys. I giggle. That's so good to know. Oh, she says, I need to go. So I'll tell Duncan that you and Trevor will be here Sunday at 3. Love you, bye. Wait. Pulling my phone away from my ear, I look at the screen. Bitch, you hung up. Of course she doesn't hear me. There is a number by my text message icon. I must not have heard the notifications when I was talking to Kimbra. I tap the screen. Trevor.
My lady, if you don't arrive soon, you'll miss the opening act.
I shake my head. Me. I've always been more of a headliner fan. Trevor.
The opening act is food.
My stomach growls as I recall that I only ate some of my salad today for lunch. Me. On my way. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I'm pretty sure that works for women, too. I quickly fold everything I have on the bed and place it in my suitcase, making room for toiletries and my little black and white bag. Leaving my work clothes on the floor of the closet, I slip into the tight jeans I wore Saturday night, a comfortable long top, and my tall boots. Running a brush through my hair, I secure it in the low ponytail and pull the length over my shoulder. This is supposed to be my escape weekend. Looking at the clock, I see it's almost 7 on Friday night. That gives me until Sunday at 3. I plan to enjoy every minute. Goodbye, Ms. Price, professional fashion buyer. Hello, Shayna. Someone looking for an escape. I may have told Stephen I was going to use this weekend to assess my mess of a life, but as I'm turning off the lights to my hotel suite, I decide that assessment isn't what I need. Instead, for once, I want to simply enjoy. I want to forget about whatever is going to happen with my job, not think about Stephen's secret, and even put off thinking about Sunday's dinner at Kimbra's. For the next 40-plus hours, I want to relax and enjoy.
Chapter 24. Trevor. You would think I'm 17 on my first date. Since leaving the bar with Max and receiving Shayna's text that she was done for the week and wanted me to take her mind off work, I've been in planning overload. It's what I do. I plan, probably excessively. After all, a structure doesn't become a 50-story building without planning. First, there are specs, what will be needed to secure the foundation. A building or a bridge, no matter how well constructed, won't stand without a strong foundation. After that, preliminary plans are developed. The investors' desires are taken into consideration, but always with safety regulations in mind. Once the basics are formulated, a model is constructed. While I loved Legos as a kid, these models are different, being built to scale for a very specific reason. If the model can't stand or withhold the stresses placed upon it, neither will the structure. It's the way my mind works. Of course, things are different for creating a weekend with the woman I'm falling for. I know it's true. Then again, maybe Kimber was right and I've already fallen. That morning in Indianapolis when Shayna woke in my bed, I was a goner. I'll never forget the way she looked at me. With her beautiful blue eyes wide, wearing my button-down shirt, her expression filled with surprise and wonder. I admit I had fun teasing her and stretching out the explanation for our situation. Through it all, she remained calm and innocent. Oh, I wanted her that night. I wanted her that weekend, but not taking her has made what we've shared this week so much better. I stop and look around my apartment. It isn't a bad apartment for New York. When I first moved in, I had Eric as a roommate. That helped with expenses. Now that he's getting married and living with Cynthia, I can't imagine downsizing. Not that it's large, but two bedrooms in Manhattan, unless you're my brother, is like a mansion in other areas. Since I've taken Shayna to many of her favorite spots this week, last night we went to Gaston's, I decided that this weekend would be different. No fancy restaurants, she has to dress professionally all week. No crowded venues, no fuss. I remembered something Duncan told me once about Kimbra. He said that one of his favorite times is when they hide out all weekend getting lost in one another. Movies on Netflix and comfort food. Shayna and I may not have the jet-set life of Duncan and Kimbra, but I like what he said. It shows me that despite what he does, my brother is still the down-to-earth guy that our parents raised. We didn't always have a lot growing up, but we always had home. For one weekend, I hope I can give that to Shayna. I take a look at my phone, hoping there'll be another message from her, but instead there's one from Max and one from my mother. Great. I open the one from Max first. Everything was confirmed received at the main office. I'll keep you posted. I don't know if this is the best career move I've ever made. I've always been the guy who went where he was needed and picked up the pieces of whatever was given to me. This is the first time I've pursued a project with this much vigor. It could either work or backfire. I scoff at my limited options. Yes, Trevor, you'll either succeed or fail. There's no gray area in that. It seems like my options are a lot like Shayna's. She did her best for that damn fashion show, the one that I didn't want to attend. She put herself on the line, and according to her, the sales have been successful. However, the decision she made to walk on that stage, to put aside her insecurities for others, could be her undoing in ladies' lingerie. Nothing worthwhile comes without risk. I decide to bite the bullet and open my mother's text. Mom. Dad and I are coming to the city for a concert on Sunday. I heard a rumor that I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you could give your mom a call. Fuck. My damn brother is close to our mom. It's not an issue for me. I'm a 33-year-old man. I don't need to have dinner with her once a week. Yes, I think he still does that even now that he's married. But just because he has dinner with her doesn't mean he has to tell her about me. I look again at Shayna's text. With Friday night traffic, she should be here soon. Shaking my head, I decide to rip off the band-aid and face my mom. Her phone rings only once. Trevor! Hi, Mom. I just read your text message.
So? Tell me.
Her voice is filled with excitement, as if I'm about to divulge some Christmas secret. I can't talk long. Did you say you'd be in the city?
Yes, your dad and I have tickets to the Philharmonic. It's a rare Sunday evening show, Tchaikovsky and Elgar. I can't wait.
I'd love to see you too, but I have plans this weekend.
Trevor,
she says, the elongation of my name meaning more than what she's saying. Mom, I'm going to guess you heard a rumor from Duncan?
No, I heard a rumor from Kimbra.
I scoff, shaking my head. It's so much easier to be mad at Duncan than Kimbra. And what did Kimbra say?
She said you were seeing someone. Oh, please tell me it's true.
The intercom on the wall near my door buzzes. It's true, Mom, and I need to go.
I want to meet her.
The intercom buzzes again.
Mom, I need to go. I'll see what I can do. Okay, see you Sunday at Kimber and Duncan's at 3 o'clock.
Before I can reply, she is gone. No, just no. This weekend is about hiding from the world, not taking my girl to meet my parents. That's like taking her from a bearskin blanket in front of the fire into the fire itself. I push the button on the intercom. Hello? Shana's voice rings through the speaker.
Hi, it's me.
Hi, me. Come on up.
Chapter 25. Shana. Before I can knock, the door of Trevor's apartment opens, and the doorway fills with Trevor Willis. In worn blue jeans riding low on his hips, bare feet, and no shirt, I can't take my eyes off of him. Tunnel vision doesn't seem to be affecting only me. Trevor's gaze is zeroed my way. Without his saying a word, my body is consumed by the hunger of his stare. His green eyes sparkle with explosions of golden flecks as he scans from my boots to my hair. With each second, it's as if his gaze touches my skin moving upward, the heat disintegrating my clothing in its path until I'm bare in the hallway, waiting for him to bid me entrance. The tips of his lips move upward until his smile shines with the intensity of his gaze. Welcome, my lady. He steps to the side, allowing me just enough room to enter. Still, our bodies brush against one another's as I wheel my suitcase inside.
What is this?
I thought if I were spending the weekend, I might need a few things. Slowly, his head shakes.
I believe I told you it was a clothes-free zone.
I take another look at him, also scanning upward. I cock one eyebrow. You're wearing jeans.
For now.
As the door closes and I release the handle of my case, Trevor's large hands frame my cheeks, pulling my face toward his. I let out a soft moan. The heat of his gaze and tease of his greeting can't compare to the passion of his kiss. With a soft, sweet start, I'm lost as he pulls me closer, tempting my lips to open and rewarding me with the promise of his tongue. I already know how talented he is with his lips and tongue. And while he can take me to ecstasy when he uses it on my sensitive parts, even with a kiss, he has my insides twisting. The spicy aroma of pizza causes my stomach to rumble, ending our kiss with his soft laugh.
My lady, are you hungry?
I inhale the scent of his cologne encompassed in garlic and oregano. For so many things. How about you?
Famished. Let's satisfy one hunger at a time.
I guess there's no rush. We have all weekend.
Yes,
he says, tugging me toward the kitchen. Though it isn't my first visit this week, I take in his apartment. It reminds me a little of the one Kimbra and I shared, but bigger. In New York City, space costs money. There are a few people I know who have a place like Duncan and Kimbra's. That's all right by me. I like the feel of Trevor's apartment. It opens from the hallway into his living room. There's no balcony, but there is a fire escape outside the window. On a night like tonight, we could move out there and enjoy the night air. His kitchen is larger than the one Kimbra and I had. His is remodeled, as the building is too old for the stainless steel appliances and white and gray decor. The way it is designed, there isn't room for a table, but instead there's a breakfast bar with three tall stools. I know from past visits that there are also two bedrooms. Trevor told me about plans to turn the room his friend Eric had used into a study or an office. Right now, that one could be classified as a storage unit with boxes, a bicycle, and I think I even saw some snow skis. Admittedly, I've spent more time in Trevor's bedroom. The bathrooms are small in comparison, again showing the age of the building. However, I can happily report that we both fit into the shower, and yes, Trevor can sing. My memories are a tad foggy, but I'm pretty sure he made me sing the last time I was in there with him. That is more exciting when you realize that I can't carry a tune in a bucket.
We do have all weekend, Trevor says, peeking at me over his broad shoulder as he leads me to the kitchen. With a glint in his eye, he adds, "And rushing is not on the itinerary." His words twist my insides, reminding me of the first night we came together, not the crazed passion against the wall, but the slow torture once we made it to my hotel bed. "Maybe we could find a happy medium?" Trevor laughs as he pulls out a bar stool at the breakfast counter. "For you." As soon as I climb onto the stool, I see the source of the fantastic aroma. Across the bar, on the other counter, is a large white box, the edges discolored with grease. And I know I've met the man of my dreams. "I see you've been cooking all day."
"Hey, I found a lady who likes pizza as much as I do. I'm taking advantage."
"I do love pizza. Anything else?"
"Wine.
My favorite combination." Before he walks over to the food, Trevor bends down and kisses that spot behind my ear, sending chills through me, tightening the twists inside, and leaving goosebumps along my skin. His large hands skirt across my shoulders, lifting my ponytail. Trevor.
"Oh, you can't wear your hair away from your neck and expect me to behave."
I reach for my ponytail. "Would you believe me if I said that I didn't even think of that when I did it?"
"Yes."
He kisses my exposed neck once again. This time the chills cover my entire body, making me glad I'm wearing a padded bra because I don't have nipple tape in my suitcase. I close my eyes as his warm breath tickles my skin. His deep voice rumbles through me.
"It won't happen again."
I lean back. "You won't kiss my neck?"
"No," he says with a grin. "I will definitely kiss your neck, and your collarbone, and..."
His grin grows as his finger teases the neckline of my top.
"You won't fix your hair this way, ever, that you don't think about my lips on you."
I reach up and run my fingers through his messy mane. "As long as you think of me whenever you forget to comb yours."
"I always forget to comb it."
"Then think of me, always." He twists the stool until I'm parallel with a counter, and he's in the space between my thighs.
"My lady, since last May, you are all I think about."
"Is that why you forget to comb your hair?"
"It's why I can't think of anything else."
"Are you sure you're hungry?"
We both laugh as the rumble from my stomach interrupts his question.
"I'm sorry," I say. "I didn't eat much lunch." With a kiss to my cheek, Trevor backs away.
"Sustenance first. With the plans I made, you're going to need it."
"I like the way that sounds." As he steps around the counter, I ask, "Can I help you with anything?"
"Your job is to relax. This weekend is our no plans weekend."
"So, what do you have planned for our no plans weekend?" As he places two large wine goblets on the counter, he glances at me through his lashes.
"Do you think I planned something?"
"Yes, Trevor Willis. I think I'm starting to figure you out."
"You are?"
"Well, you just said that with your plans I need sustenance, and besides, you're not a seat-of-your-pants kind of guy."
Trevor twists around and looks at the back of his jeans.
"Don't be so damn cute. Yes, you have a great ass. I like the seat of your pants. What I mean is that you plan your breakfast before you go to bed. I'd put money on the fact that we have plans."
His brows rise and fall. "First, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. What if you don't plan and then when it's time you're out of eggs or cereal? The possibilities are numerous and would have lasting effects on the entire day."
"See, I'd win that bet."
"How much are you willing to bet?"
I feel the warmth in my cheeks. "Me?"
"So if you're right, I can't have you all weekend?"
"If I'm right, I get to decide when and how you get me."
His chest grows as he inhales. The stream of wine coming from the bottle he's pouring grows precariously close to the rim of the glass as the muscles in his arms tense, bringing forth a beautiful array of bulging tendons and veins. Once he places the wine bottle on the counter, he exhales and replies,
"Sorry, my lady."
"You won't take my bet?"
"Not for this weekend."
"Then you do have plans." He hands me a glass of red wine.
"I do, but for more than a weekend. I understand that we don't know what the future will bring, but..." Shayna Price. My goal for this weekend and beyond is that no matter what I do, how I ravage you with unbridled passion or torture you with slow and thorough lovemaking, that you are in full agreement. He clinks our glasses. You have my word, I'll never do anything you don't decide is right, but I will do my damnedest to convince you to let me give it a try. I bring the rim of the glass to my lips as I think about his toast and take a drink. Once I sip, I place the glass back on the counter and say, I'm not very good at giving up control. You don't have to. I'd never expect that. I don't? You wouldn't? No, my lady. You have all the power. Then tell me our plans. He reaches for two paper plates and grins. See, I like it when you're bossy. I take another sip of the wine. You may like it, but you suck at obeying. He hands me a plate overflowing with a warm slice of pizza. Yes, I do. We can work on sucking later. First, we eat. And then sucking? And then, you trust me to keep my word. I wake to the soft sound of Trevor's breathing. The window in his bedroom is open, allowing the soundtrack of city noises to float through the warming air. Cars and horns and brakes and voices have been our background music for the last incredible night and day, and into this night. I roll toward him, making out his features in the dim illumination. My fingers itch to comb his hair back and feel his soft, short beard. I marvel at the slope of his nose and the way his forehead protrudes. It's a comforting combination, as if he's still planning and thinking in his dreams, yet relaxed and content. It isn't often that I'm the one awake. It seems that when we're together, I'm the one who wakes to his sexy smile. The few moments of seeing him at peace gives me a strange sense of satisfaction. I can't deny that he makes me happy, and with all my heart, I believe it's mutual. I'm not sure a man can fake the gratification he's shown. Our plan-free weekend has been filled with marvelous options that I never expected. It has consisted of everything and nothing, from pizza to shower concerts to wrapped-in-towels Netflix marathons to dressed in his shorts or maybe just his t-shirt and sitting on the fire escape to long, torturous, thoroughly gratifying sexual encounters and finding sustenance. Except for accepting deliveries, the door to his apartment hasn't opened, and we mutually decided to turn off our phones. After the mess that has been the last 3 weeks of work, I had no idea how much I needed a do-nothing-but-sleep, eat, screw, and relax weekend. It's been perfect, and yet as I lie here beside him, my chest aches. If I were smart and sensible, I wouldn't wait. Instead, I'd ease my way out of his bed now and slip out of his apartment and his life. I just know that this time next week I'll be back in London. I also know that it won't be to pack. Don't ask me how I know. I do. And yet I can't pry myself away from this man. It's an attraction like I've never known. From his warm, naked body beside mine and his plans for our plan-free weekend, to the knowledge that I'm supposed to meet his parents tomorrow. Or is it today? I search for a clock. 2 in the morning. It's today. As much as I don't want to hurt him when I tell him I'm moving back to London, I can't make me hurt myself by giving up 1 minute we could be together. Even if it is the smart thing to do, I can't pull myself away. I'm beginning to wonder if I'll be able to make myself step onto the plane next Friday. I've never before considered a relationship over my career, and I find it puzzling that the thoughts are even occurring. Yet, they are.
Chapter 26. Trevor. I wake to my dark bedroom and reach for Shayna, but she's not there. All at once, I'm sitting up and straining into the darkness, scanning my bedroom and listening for anything. The sounds of the city that never sleeps are just beyond my window, while everything within reach is silent. Well, except for my heart. It's now beating within my ears. Shayna? I call out once and then again, louder. Shayna!
My feet hit the floor as I make my way toward the attached bathroom. The door is wide and she's not there. I race toward the hall of the second bathroom. Empty. An unfamiliar sense of panic bubbles from deep inside me. Where is she? What happened? I'm not losing her again. Not after the time we've had together. I won't. Shayna! It's as I turn from the hallway to the living room that I remember to breathe and my heart slows to a healthy pace. Outside the window beyond the open pane is her silhouette upon the fire escape. For only a second, I stand and watch. Her long, unrestrained hair is blowing around her as she sits upon the windowsill. Step by step with my bare feet upon the wood floor, I slowly approach, not wanting to startle her and at the same time wondering how she didn't hear me. Shayna? I say softly, lifting the sash higher. Trevor? Though she turned away after saying my name, it wasn't before I saw the glistening tears on her cheeks or heard the emotion in my name. I reach out my hand. Baby, please come back in. She shakes her head, but nevertheless she does as I ask, gripping my hand and stepping over the sill and back into the apartment. Neither of us mentions my total lack of clothing as her long legs bend, toes point, and feet come into contact with the hardwood floor. As she gracefully navigates the window, I'm reminded of her on that runway. With as beautiful as she was that afternoon, I find having her here with nothing on but my t-shirt even sexier.
I didn't want to wake you,
she says, wrapping her arms around my torso and burying her face against my chest. She's chilled against my skin. Wrapping her in my arms, we stand before the window, neither of us speaking. From the way she's trembling, I'm afraid the source of her shaking is from more than the cool night air. From the dampness on my chest, I believe she's crying. Although I've never been good at women's emotions. Is any man? I slowly rub a circle upon her back until she takes a deep breath.
Shayna, what is it?
When she looks up, her blue eyes glisten with unshed tears.
I bought something. I brought it here and forgot to wear it.
What? She pulls away.
It's Sunday. We're going to your brother's for dinner. I have to go back to the hotel and then...
She turns away. Reaching for her hand, I pull her back to my embrace.
And then we'll handle what comes next. But you don't understand. I forgot about the nightgown. Now it's too late.
I shake my head, trying to figure out what she's saying. My lady, you are the most stunning woman I've ever seen. I personally think that Saks should consider a boyfriend's t-shirt line. I mean, I know they'll charge 10 times as much as the real t-shirt, but damn, seeing you in mine and nothing else? It's hot. She cranes her neck upward.
But I bought it for you, and now...
Her forehead drops to my chest. Slowly, I release her and take a step back.
I'm still here, and so are you. No, it doesn't work like that.
What doesn't work like what?
I'm supposed to surprise you and come out of the bathroom all sexy, not a snotty mess with tangled hair like someone who's been sitting outside crying.
I palm her cheek as she tilts her head toward my hand.
Shayna Price, you're sexy every minute of every day and night.
I tease her hair with my fingers. And I know how your hair got like that, which makes it the sexiest hairstyle you could ever wear.
But...
Yes, I love your butt and your tits. If you bought me a surprise, I don't want to miss it.
No, it's not a sur...
I touch my finger to her lips. Should I wait out here or in bed? Her tits push outward as she inhales, yet her blue eyes never leave mine. Finally, she replies...
It's the middle of the night.
No, my lady, it's the middle of our weekend. You tell me, bed or here, or I'll decide.
Bed, but give me a minute first and promise that you won't fall asleep.
There's not a chance. Shayna slips through my fingers as her smile reemerges. While I give her the minute she requested, I close the living room window. Before I do, I glance out and up. The space between the buildings isn't large, yet up in the sky is a full moon. I think of an old childhood story about wishes. I'm not sure what makes me think of it, but with my hands on the windowsill, I look up to the moon. My mind tells me it's children's fables that I used up my quota when I was young. For the first time, I'm not listening to my mind. My heart wants another one. I speak softly. If wishes can come true, I want to fulfill every one of hers, and I don't want mine to end. When I reach the bedroom, I hear Shayna in the bathroom as light seeps from under the door. Instead of thinking about why she was really out on the fire escape crying, I concentrate on whatever she has for my surprise. Each thought returns blood to my cock, reviving the erection that has been perpetual since she arrived here Friday night. I reach for the sheet, not wanting her to think that sex is my only thought. As I do, she calls out to me.
Trevor, are you there?
I'm always here. Slowly the door opens. With the backlight surrounding her, she reminds me of the pictures they show you of angels. That's what she is to me, and yet the negligee she's wearing would probably prohibit her from entering heaven's gates.
Holy shit,
I mutter as I sit taller, completely unaware that the sheet I used to cover me is now lifted like a tent ready for camping. Her cheeks rise as she comes closer, and her gaze goes from my lap to my eyes.
I guess that means you like your surprise?
You're fucking gorgeous. Forgetting my effort to cover myself, I reach for her hand and stand. Lifting our hands, she slowly spins as her beauty is displayed from every angle. I'm glad you didn't wear that one on stage.
It's only for you.
My favorite kind of fashion show with my absolutely favorite model. Letting go of my hand, she walks to the end of the bed and stops. Turning, she continues around to the other side. Where are you going?
I'm giving you your own show.
Oh, I've seen enough. Come back here.
Are you telling me what to do?
I am. Are you in agreement? Her smile broadens as she does as I said and comes closer. Looking first at my erection and then back to me, she says,
Yes, Trevor, I've never been in more agreement in my life.
What do you want right now, my lady?
I want you.
You've got me. Tell me more, I say. As her cheeks grow pinker, she does. She tells me more. Reaching for my cock, she runs her hand up and down my length.
This time, I want to be on top. I want to be the one who decides when you...
When I come?
Yes.
Under one condition.
What?
She asks. Don't take off my surprise. Her blue eyes twinkle as she leads me to bed, directing my arms behind my head. I wait through the most exciting anticipation of my life. Staring at the ceiling, I expect her to climb on, to straddle and ride me until we're both over our mountain and stars erupt. She doesn't. When I lift my head, Shayna's at the foot of the bed, crawling between my legs. Each movement ends with a kiss or a nip as she moves closer and closer. Fuck. It's agony how fucking slowly she's moving.
Shayna.
Her tongue laps over my thigh and then the other.
Have I told you how sexy I think your thighs are?
Thighs. God damn it. I grip my own fist, fighting my need to pull her up.
You said you wanted to be on top. Get on top.
Her soft laugh sends electrical shocks straight to my dick. I look up, and all I can see is her golden hair as she's inching closer. And then her lips take me in. Oh, fuck. Her hands move in sync as she sucks and licks. My balls grow painfully tight.
I'm fucking serious, Shayna.
Not yet, baby.
She coos.
I want you to remember I've been here.
She's using my words. My girl is using my words, and I've never been so damn turned on in my life. Baby, it doesn't work that way for men. You need to jump on now. Rolling my balls in her grasp, she takes one more long suck. The pressure is building, and I'm doing everything I can think of not to blow. I'm constructing bridges, doing math equations, counting from 100 backwards. 100, 99, 98, 97. Nothing is working, and then...
Yes! Fucking yes!
Her lips pepper my neck with kisses as her tight pussy grips my penis and I'm propelled by catapult straight through the pearly gates.
Trevor, Trevor!
Her soft hand cups my cheek.
Open your eyes.
I don't think my body has ever been this tight. I'm not sure I can control my eyes and cock at the same time.
Trevor...
Slowly, my eyes open to the most beautiful vision. Shayna. Her hair is veiled over her shoulders and her tits are covered in the white lace and right before my eyes.
Please move your arms and hold me tight.
I will my arms to respond, reaching for her hips. As I do, she rolls herself forward and then back.
Baby, this is... Hold me,
she says as her movements grow faster.
I think we may be in for a rough ride.
Holy shit. The friction is... like nothing. My grip tightens as my fingers press against her hips. I can't take my eyes off of her. The ecstasy of her expression as she moves, the way her hair teases my face when she leans down, and her hardening nipples tenting the silk of the negligee.
Trevor, oh Trevor,
I've got you.
Chapter 27. Shayna. Kimbra meets us at the door of her apartment, eyeing me up and down, her smile growing as she scans.
Looking down, I take a peek at the skirt and top I'm wearing, the ones I packed after talking to Kimbra. The skirt is long and flowing, and the top is simple yet chic. My shoes are a gladiator asymmetrical wedge, the soft straps fitting around my ankles. My hair is down with soft curls at the end, and my makeup is minimal, especially compared to the day on the runway. And yet the way she's looking at me, I feel exposed. Her grin makes me want to blush, as if she's seeing beyond my well-thought-out outfit, and knows every intimate thing Trevor and I have done since our last visit to her apartment. Maybe that's what friends see when they look at you. They see what your words haven't had the chance to share. It's why Steven knew I was having bunny rabbit sex without my saying a word. As my other best friend briefly crosses my mind, I recall a few of his subtle hints that I've recently been too preoccupied to notice. Now that I think about it, if I didn't know better, I'd say his sex life has improved, too. "Come on in, you two," Kimber says with a wave. "Beth and Christopher are here." Trevor's hand warms the small of my back, giving me confidence as we move forward. The moment we enter the living room and his parents come into view, my anxiety wanes. Trevor told me that his parents were in their early 60s. I should have known that the couple who donated their genes to Trevor and Duncan Willis wouldn't be the epitome of grandparents in the making. No white-haired people with rocking chairs. Beth, Trevor's mom, is absolutely beautiful in a comforting but not overpowering way. She's petite yet curvy. Her hair is a mixture of Duncan and Trevor's, not as dark as one or as light as the other. And right away, it's her eyes that I notice, the same stunning green as her son's. What makes them even better is the way they're smiling at me, sincere and loving, with little fine lines crinkling their corners. "Shayna, it's so good to meet you again," she says. I fight with the "again" in her sentence, and then I recall Kimber's wedding. "Yes, Mrs. Willis, it's nice to see you again, too. Oh, dear, my name is Beth," she says as she wraps me in a hug. Over her shoulder, I notice Duncan's and Kimbra's smiles. When she pulls back, she looks me directly in the eye. "Now, I want to hear all about how you caught my son's attention." She lowers her voice. "And I can't tell you how happy we are that you did." I glance over to Trevor, who comes to the rescue, securing my hand and tugging me back toward him.
"Mom, yes, this is Shayna. Can you please let her breathe?"
Beth laughs, reaching for Trevor and giving him a hug. "I can't believe that I had to learn about this beautiful, and from what I hear, successful, woman from someone besides my son." Trevor's gaze goes to Duncan and back to his mom.
"Yeah, I was surprised about that too."
"Hey," Duncan says, "I didn't say a word."
Without shame, Kimbra raises her hand. "It was me. It was all me. I just couldn't contain myself, and well, Duncan got tired of listening to me go on and on, so I called Beth." A handsome man, an older version of what I decide is more Trevor than Duncan, steps forward offering me his hand.
"It's always the dad who's the last to know. Nice to meet you, Shayna. Since no one is introducing me, I will. I'm Christopher Willis."
"Hello, Mr. Willis."
"And that makes you Miss Price?"
he says with a wink. "Christopher," I correct. "It seems like you all know all about me." It's Kimbra's turn to speak. "First and last name, occupation, current job status, as well as the possibilities for the future. Most shareable information from our living together." She smiles my direction, with emphasis on your affinity for shoes. "I love the ones you're wearing, by the way. Oh, and I didn't mention cannoli." "Oh, do you like cannoli?" Beth asks. Duncan, Kimbra, Trevor, and I all turn her way as the blood drains from my cheeks. I feel faint as the life-giving circulation seems to still. If it weren't for Trevor's hand returning to my back, I think I may fall to the floor. "If you do," she goes on, totally oblivious to my discomfort, "I have the best recipe. Do you bake?" Letting out a breath, I answer with a nod. I love to bake, but honestly, I don't do much since I live alone." "Oh, let me send you my recipe. The best part is you can freeze them and then you don't have to eat them all at once." She laughs as we all find seats around Duncan and Kimbra's living room.
I know for me personally, if I don't use some self-control, I can overindulge on cannoli. Kimbra leans back in an oversized chair, or maybe a baby love seat, I'm not sure, next to Duncan, and grins. Death by cannoli, not a bad way to go.
So, Dad, Trevor says, trying to change the subject, how's work? Should I share with the competition?
Dad and I work for different engineering firms, Trevor explains.
A few minutes later, when Kimbra stands, I do also. Maybe I could help you in the kitchen, I ask. Beth stands, too. I'm all for letting the men do the cleanup. Well, your men, she adds with a laugh. Christopher and I will be off to the Philharmonic, but for now, we can help Kimbra get the dinner ready. She puts her arm around my back. So you and Kimbra live together here in New York, and now you live in London? I've always wanted to visit London. What should I see first? Buckingham Palace, the London Eye, Big Ben? There are just so many options. We step into the kitchen to the wonderful aroma of whatever Kimbra is cooking. Kimbra, this smells divine. What is it? She waves me off. It's just pork loin. We have potatoes and some vegetables. Honey, Beth says to me, I brought an apple pie. However, if I'd have known you loved cannoli, I would have brought my homemade ones. Shaking my head, I look past Beth to Kimbra's smile, and it takes all of my restraint not to break out laughing. Beth, Kimbra says, I left my glass of wine in the living room. Oh, I say, so did I. I can go get them. Nonsense, girls, I'll go get them. Before Beth makes it to the door, she turns back. Shayna, I promise I'm not always this overwhelming. It's that I'm so happy you're here and that you and Kimbra are friends. It's every mother's dream. I'm happy to be here. When she's gone, I turn to Kimbra. Death by cannoli. Technically, we've already tried her homemade ones. Her eyebrows dance. My nose scrunches. Oh, my God, will you stop? She is their mother. She made them. I shake my head, wondering how long it will take for Beth to return with our wine. Fine, Kimber says. How was your no-plan weekend? It was wonderful. And then reality hits me like a subway train, and my laughter disappears as tears prick the back of my eyes. Kimber reaches for my hands. Babe, I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable with the cannoli. It's just that Duncan is still giving me a hard time about it.
A hard time? And you're complaining?
I shake my head as I look down with a sigh and continue before letting her speak. No, it's not that. It's that I really like Trevor. I like him a lot. If that's a secret, you're not doing a good job of hiding it. I think he likes me. You think? She asks. I take a deep breath and wipe away a renegade tear that escaped down my cheek. 5 more days and it's over. Stop! It's not. According to Stephen, you killed that fashion show. Even you have told me that the numbers have exceeded speculation. I know enough about the running of a business to know that numbers speak louder than anyone's opinion. Have faith. I want to. Before Kimbra can reply, the kitchen door swings inward and Beth enters with 3 large goblets of Moscato. I move toward her, trying to ease one from her hands. Oh, don't worry about me, she says. A long time ago, I was a waitress. You were? I ask, surprised. Working my way through college, I could carry 3 platters on 1 arm. Wow, I say, impressed. Kimbra bumps her shoulder into mine. I told Beth all about you, but I didn't have a chance to fill you in on Beth. Did Trevor? My cheeks warm. We didn't get the chance to talk. Beth and Kimbra laugh in a way that makes me blush while at the same time feel like I'm talking with 2 friends instead of just 1. I'm not that exciting, Beth says. Don't let her fool you. Beth is a teacher. She works for a public school system upstate, specializing in reading comprehension. Kimbra gives her mother-in-law a knowing smile. When it comes to patience, she's right up there with Job. My boys gave me all the patience I needed. Her boys. Earlier, she'd said, your men. It's funny to think they're the same. While the 3 of us talk and laugh, I realize that Duncan's success and wealth isn't the status quo of how and where he and Trevor were raised. In many ways, the Willises are similar to the Prices or even Kimber's family, hardworking and loving, wanting nothing but happiness for each other.
As Kimbra fidgets with the last of the dinner preparations, Beth fills me in on some stories about Duncan and Trevor as children. She mentions how they coexisted but were never as close as she'd wanted. Being 2 years apart in age, they were more competitive than she would have liked. Christopher and I did our best to keep the competition to a minimum. It was pretty obvious early on that they had different interests and strengths. We tried to promote those strengths in each one. Trevor is more like his dad, she says after refilling her wine glass. He's quieter than Duncan, Kimbra explains. Beth shrugs. The thing some people don't see, especially if they're around people like Duncan and me, is that men like Christopher, and Trevor, I would presume, save their words for when it's important, for when they're with the person they truly want to have hear them. Her observation returns my smile. I'd heard for over a year from Kimbra how quiet and shy Trevor was, but from our first meeting, my assessment was completely different. In Beth's words, that makes me the one person for whom he saved his words. Beth smiles at Kimbra. And then there's Duncan, who does take more after me. Sometimes people like us don't know when to be quiet. It could be said that we talk too much or are too demonstrative. I like demonstrative, Kimber says. And honey, we're all glad you do.
I'd guess that you're talking too much now.
We all turn as Trevor enters the kitchen, putting his arm around me and pulling me to his side. He asks,
has my mother scared you off yet?
I smile at Beth. Actually, the opposite. Before we know it, all three men are in the kitchen, and everyone is carrying plates and platters to the dining room. The talking and laughing barely ceases, despite the fact that we're all eating the delicious meal. It is as Trevor and I are leaving their penthouse that he gives me a kiss.
I'm sorry you had to put up with my family.
I like your family. He shrugs.
You know, after 33 years, they're starting to grow on me, too.
Chapter 28 Shayna. Emerging from the subway tunnel near Rockefeller Center, I squint as the sunshine fills the street. As the crowd pushes forward, I'm like a salmon in a stream. Thankfully, we're all swimming in the same direction. Looking at my watch, I calculate that if I can walk the rest of the way at a swift pace, I'll make it to the 10th floor of Saks with over 3 minutes to spare. Considering that Trevor and I woke later than planned, my decision to take the subway instead of above-ground transportation may have saved the day. When I went to Trevor's apartment Friday night, I didn't intend to stay until Monday morning, but plans change. That's my new attitude. Adapt. After spending the afternoon with his family, I didn't want to leave him and go back to my hotel alone. Continuing our no-plans weekend, we went back to his apartment, laid a blanket on the living room floor, picnicked with cheese and fruit, and continued our Netflix marathon with a few intermissions for exercise. Thank goodness we had the cheese and fruit for needed nourishment. Who knew watching television was so taxing? I giggle to myself as I make my way over to Fifth Avenue and up toward 50th Street, trying not to think about how easy it would be to get used to spending my time away from work with Trevor, or how nice it would be to go home to him each evening. Nevertheless, as the ideas creep into my thoughts, I find myself relishing them instead of dismissing them. Maybe it's a new attitude for a new week. Kimbra is right. Numbers are what matter in sales, and after all, that is the essence of what I do. I sell. Good morning, Shayna.
Good morning.
I smile as I make my way back to the temporary office Stephen and I are using. As soon as I enter, Stephen's expression takes away my newly obtained optimism. What's up?
Check your email.
That sounds ominous, I say as I fling my purse into the bottom desk drawer, turn on my computer, and notice the steaming grande cup of cappuccino sitting in the middle of my desk. Prying the lid from the tall white cup, I say, You're the best. I am. The screen before me comes to life, displaying too many unread emails. I guess that's what happens when my phone is turned off. Before I jump into whatever this is, how was your weekend with your parents? His expression lightens.
It was fabulous. I got to see my sister's kid. He's this giant baby.
Giant? Well, he's something like months old. You know how parents never use years. I think I figured I'm now nearing my 361st month birthday.
I laugh,